There are fans of the flat earth theory all around the globe. It's Jet Theory Radio. Live from the ATX, it's Jet Theory Radio. My name is David, but you may know me better as the one they call Jetter. I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening to us this week, as we have a huge amount of variety of topics to go over. As always, the man to my left, Mr. Gail Murren.
The Shady Justice, Jetter's voice of reason.
He tries. But about the only reasonable thing that he's done is wear a shirt tonight. I know you can't see it because you're, you know, listening to the podcast, but for the video stuff, we have got some Jet Theory Radio t-shirts going on right here. You guys pose for the camera for a minute, and I'm just going to put in a little filler right now. As you can see, they're sporting just one style there. It's the black t-shirt with the JTR established 2017 right underneath it. Over here to my right, if you were viewing this as well on video, we've got the other logo. The main logo that you see has the avatar on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. These awesome designs were made by the wonderful and very talented Brent Hall. He's been an artist and a guy I've known for years, and he rocked it. This was the second design that he sent our way, and it was right away like, yes, this will be it. So we thank you, Brent, and we're going to give a shout out to you on the fan page, and just everybody, if you like what you see, just give Brent a like when we post about this. Mr. Murren, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm very ready.
Okay, because you're ready for Mr. James. Ooh. Over here to your left, my right. Yes. Many of you probably hear this guy's voice at the end of each podcast we have. And do you mind just giving us, remind everybody who's listening what you sound like? This will help you out here.
Jet Theory Radio.
Boom. Just like that. Don't you like that? Thank you very much, James. James is going to be one of the regulars that we have on here. This is actually the third time technically you've recorded with us. The second one we recorded for the show. This will be played first because we're doing the whole, you know, Firefly season where we play the second episode first and save the very first one for later on down the line. Because why not?
Is that an unhanded punch at Fox?
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Just a little
fine Jetter check, something I like.
Thanks for having me, Jet.
Not a problem. Anytime. I guess, let's see. Is there anything else we want to get into, or do we just want to start talking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, James, this is the first time that you've been able to join us live here since South By ended. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot. My apologies. Mr. Murren forgot to remind me that he is going to pimp out a beer right now.
Well, it's regular day since James on. Sorry to cut you off, but I'm going to. It's regular day since James is on. So I'm drinking my regular beer. Austin Beer Works Black Thunder.
A fine beverage.
Fine beverage. Mm-hmm. A black lager. Schwartz lager, for those who know German.
Jawohl.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Yeah. Auf Wiedersehen.
I said Jawohl. That's Russian.
No. That was made famous by what's his name in Tarantino's movie? The dude in what was it? The Moore movie, Inglourious Bastards. I don't know why I blanked on that.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name character? That was his.
One of the main characters that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The main Nazi guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't think of his name, but yeah.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Well, James, I know you're tired. You're worn out a little bit.
Why?
So I thank you for being here. You're being fueled as well by a regular beverage as well.
Coors Light there, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. It's not my normal, but I'll take it in a can.
Not the banquet of beers. Bullet. It's a silver
it's
bullet.
Apparently not very cold because the mountains aren't blue.
Oh.
Well, it works for me right now, boys.
Okay.
It's a beer, and it's quenched in the thirst. What's been wearing you out here lately?
Well, again, thank you guys for having me on. This past week, South By was like, you know, this year, I decided to want to work it instead of be the tourist to come and visit it.
Oh, yeah.
And I got a chance to work at a couple of the bars around town. And let me tell you, 18-hour shifts will beat you down to almost nothing. Luckily, you know, I was able to survive a little bit of that.
Hey, Cheddar, do you want to explain to our crowd what exactly is South by Southwest?
Well, South by Southwest, I'm pretty sure many of you have heard before because it's the Austin Entertainment Festival would be the best way to describe it. I would say it originally started as a music festival, if my Austin history is correct, and it slowly evolved into this pop culture, entertainment, technology, smorgasbord of entertainment all scattered throughout downtown Austin. You've got different events at different bars. There's tons of interactive stuff where you can just win geeky prizes, meet geeky people. More than likely, you'll run into somebody famous, always.
Absolutely.
There's lots of movies that goes on, lots of music that's out there everywhere. You can literally just walk down one block, hit about 5 different bars, and about 20 different bands playing, all in the span of an hour. That's like, it, it's crazy. So when you work an 18-hour day with it, you're going to get a little tired.
So then our first question is, did you meet someone famous?
Actually, I did.
Ooh. Ooh.
But I did not have conversation with her, per se. I was informed that she was there, and I was more or less the outside moon circling the planet Earth, in a sense. But
one position always faced the Earth,
yeah,
looking right at her, and not scary at all.
it was Kirsten Dunst that was in town. And it was interesting to see her at the famous Scoot Inn, a bar that's been around for 146 years now, as of this year. And I think the birthday is in April. I think that's next month, actually. But I could be wrong about that. But, you know, working at that place, it was pretty, you know, exhausting at times. But the coolest thing about it was just meeting and greeting a whole bunch of, you know, not just the locals, but internationals as well, and having a blast of a time with all these different bands, these different shows. And one of the events that was being put on there mostly was the brewing company Lagunitas, I believe. And it was a lot of fun. And working with the crew that was there.
I thought you guys also had a, was it a Revolver deal?
There was something like a Guns and Oil.
Yeah, that came later. That was one. That was a Wednesday. No, I think it was Wednesday. Let me check that back. That could have been Thursday. Whatever the 16th was on, I was not there. But yes, Guns and Oil was there. Yeah, Guns and Oil was there, and that lager is delicious. Let me tell you, they had some left over. I went back that Friday to work at the Scoot and had some samples of that. And let me tell you, buddy, it's on my go get it list.
I'll say, like, the first time I was through South By, there was, I mean, pretty much everywhere has got a free beer of some kind.
Right.
You could literally go out, and as long as you're willing to stand in line for a few hours in some places, you could just get loaded up if you want, or just sit back and enjoy the music. Any good bands that you saw, or I imagine since you were working, you couldn't like watch them directly.
Well,
I mean,
I could. There were several different bands I can't call off the top of my head that were there. I mean, I was pretty much, you know, roaming around, but still listening to a lot of the good music was there. We had a massive, great turnout. We did have a special guest that was a surprise for a lot of the people that were there.
Who?
A gentleman that's a local that everybody's familiar with, and please forgive me if I get his name wrong. I think his name was Eric. Oh my gosh, Eric Rockinson or something like that. That was is a local musician that's well known around Austin, and everybody got stoked when this guy comes out, and it was on point. It was really a good band to listen to, and listen at this gentleman play his music. The different bands that came through, there were several different ones out of Chicago, out of New York, and some other bands that come through, and some of them had that pizzazz, and some of them were like, you hear crickets. Damn. It was moments like that that was there that they had a lot of bands booked. But it was, it had its moments.
Now, I had a friend who went through, and hopefully she'll be on here soon, Sydney, and she bought a badge, and it's worth it for her because she's really a big fan of South Korean music and Korean culture in general. And so she was going out, and just pictures were being taken. I mean, she enjoyed herself so much. I could just see through all the pictures and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to actually catch up with her here soon, but... Like K-pop that's fan. Yeah, big K-pop fan, and just enjoyed it, had the time of her life. Now I'm actually surprised she got to see everybody that she was going to, because there was a big thing with like the travel band. Did you hear about that at all?
No.
Apparently there was something in like the contracts with South By, and I don't know the details, but it was like a big, essentially, if you get kicked off, or if you're a band member visiting from outside the country.
Oh, yes. Yes,
and you
go
get
ahead.
Kicked off a stage, arrested, or just make yourself not look good, we'll tell you, excuse yourself from South By. And as a part of that, we've got to report to immigration.
Oh, man.
Which became a big thing because with the travel ban and stuff like that, it's like, well, wait, should bands from outside the U.S. really be traveling here? Right. And all I saw was just there was bad fallout from the representatives of South By saying certain things about it.
Right.
Did that affect Scoot In at all? I imagine.
Well,
probably
I not,
not
only worked at the Scoot In, I also worked at the North Door, but no, it didn't drive down the amount of people that were there. They were like the first day. Dude, it had to be like close to 1,300 people in the day's part, and then about 600 or 700, let me rephrase it, about 900 at night. So it was almost like 2,000 people had traveled in and out of that that location, and it was really busy. It was like nonstop. We were just doing some of everything there, but it didn't slow down. If that was a political move by, you know, certain people, I won't say no names, it didn't affect it. The people were there to get their groove on, man, and they were having a great time at the place. Not to mention the North Door. You mentioned something about, you know, Korean pop, you know.
Yeah, K-pop.
There was a band at the North Door. It was a like a hardcore rock band. And these three guys were kicking ass, man. I mean, the music, I didn't think I was going to like it. But their name of the band was called Galaxy Express. And they were badass, man. And these dudes were kicking it. I mean,
was it more of a rock kind of sound? Or?
Yeah, it was real, like, you know, sort of a close. It was like in between, you know, sort of a rock band and then a hardcore headbangers ball band, and these guys were just really into it, and apparently they're pretty popular over there. And so with that said, I mean, it was I worked there and then I worked at this one again, and I was going back and forth, so it was a real run through show.
I didn't go to any South By, I think, at all this year. I was sick during like the first part of it, and I just never went out because I was just like, I didn't want to deal with the crowds and stuff like that. But I always had the plan and the thought, because I've always used to work in two jobs, like always doing two jobs. And since I moved to Austin, it's just been one job. And I thought if Uber and Lyft were still here in town, I thought I'd take the week of South By off from work, not to visit everywhere, but just to be an Uber driver for that week and just work 12, 18 hour shifts. Right. And make a lot of coin.
There are other ride sharing programs, Cheddar.
Yes, but the name ones.
The fastest and the pedicabs.
Yeah, apparently you make more money working for a Fasten than you do Uber or Lyft.
See, but
they're more friendly to their drivers.
The thing I heard was that everybody who came from out of town didn't know that because they weren't aware of the Uber Lyft controversy in Austin. And so they would be like, I need an Uber. And they Uber would be like, no, it just wouldn't work in Austin. And so then they got to look around and search. So essentially, that would have been a gamble. If I did that plan with that work and just worked 12, 18-hour days with the rideshare, the plan would have worked if I knew which one was going to be the highest-rated one, which one was going to essentially do the most advertising at South By, because then more than likely people would go to that one.
So did you get a lot of complaining about Uber and Lyft from people? Did you see a lot of out-of-towners complain about that?
Well, the biggest complaint I did come across was that their systems kept crashing, which made it easier for the pedicabs to get more money because
the first Saturday,
yeah,
all the ride sharing company's apps crashed.
And it was an on and off thing. Like, you know, 30 minutes, mm-hmm. it'd be back on. And 30 minutes later, it'd be back off. It was like a hit or miss. Some people would be like standing next to each other. Mm-hmm. Two people might get it. Two people over here may not get it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was crazy. It was like mm-hmm. they were struggling to get the rise. And I think it was like nasty that day.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like, do the drivers, well, I guess it depends. Do the drivers use the same app that the passengers use for those?
I would
From what I'm aware, yeah.
Okay.
It's just a different side to the app. Okay. You just log into it differently.
Because I know Uber's got that. So they could at least like still have the drivers be able to do what they're doing. But I couldn't imagine a ride sharing where it's, oh, you just log in as a customer, you log in as a driver to the same app, and suddenly that app crashes right when you're in the middle of driving people somewhere. Mm. And you got to be like, where are we going? Mm. That'd be for an awkward car ride right away.
Well, I can tell you, you know, I happened to direct a lot of those, you know, customers that were there, you know, trying to be polite and let them know. A couple of assholes out there, you know, hey, the system's crashed. I don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll leave you be, guy. Whatever you need to do. But it did cause a few problems for people. They were really trying to get out of there. They had a few people as we were wobbling everywhere mm-hmm. and trying to get a ride. But these pedicabs kept pulling up like fish. You throw food out in the water. And they were just coming up, and they were catching rides left and right. Man, I said, hey, y'all need to tell the rest of them to come down here. And the pedicab shop is right down the street from Scoot Inn, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I said, y'all need to tell the rest of them to come down here, pick up some of these customers, you know. And sure enough, they were like feeding fish in the water, man. They mm-hmm. were coming and going. And it was a pretty good turnout. But probably about the fifth day, I think we're about at everybody's throats.
Yeah.
We're at everybody's throat. I did want to add one other thing that the South By event wasn't more catered to the east side of town. And stories got out about how the people who put on the show mm-hmm. were like they were ousting the east side. Because it seemed like even though the west side is usually where most of the music is being played... Mm-hmm. You know, they were like, hey, it seemed like we're losing some business over. Where the hell is everybody going? They're going to the east side. And all the different entertainments throughout, certain bars, mm-hmm. they were hoping that they would get a line and hook with the South By group and maybe be able to, you know, gather some of that money. But it mm-hmm. didn't turn out that way. Next thing you know, you see trucks closing and being shut down. The Austin Police Department and City Code people were out and... They were being ruthless, man. It's like, when you got the power, you mm-hmm. can bend it to you wherever you want it to. And now, that's exactly what was going on.
Because there's the official venues for South By, meaning that these are the ones that get the label, can be promoted with like the whole organization. And then there's the unofficial ones, which are essentially still sponsored, but they have like an unofficial attachment to it. It's really weird how they do that. Was there more unofficial stuff going then on the east side?
Yeah, I would agree to that. Yep.
So there was more just trying to sidetrack any unofficial stuff and try to get people more toward
the west
what
side.
Should be the official. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I hear, you know, behind closed doors, they make fun of those east side guys, you know? And that's not cool, man. I mean, we're all out here to have a good time
yeah.
and enjoy the richness that come with not just the music, the different film industries. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all trying to communicate and say, hey, wouldn't you like to enjoy some of this entertainment? This is what we're all about.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is hearsay. And rumors, so we don't know. We're not one of the people sitting in the room, so we can talk all about that mm-hmm. all day long. At the same time, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of hearsay. I mean, one thing we do know is that not as many big time sponsors, the huge companies that had been a part of South By weren't all mm-hmm. there this year, and South By lost a little bit of that. Well, what does that have to do with? I think it has more to do with maybe a festival isn't the way they want to spend their money. Mm. And it's not reaching enough people. Where more and more global communication is happening. You saw it a little bit in the way events were done mm-hmm. this time. I think we're going to start seeing more of the... Who's the karaoke guy? Does it in the cars?
James Gordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was here. Doing the karaoke. Yeah.
Really?
Actually,
Maisie Williams. Was he doing karaoke, sing-along cars?
Sophie
and, like,
Turner.
You go, oh.
Maisie Williams and Sophie Turner, two Game of Throners.
Mm-hmm.
Got picked up right there on the streets of Austin and did karaoke on our streets.
Wow.
So,
see, now...
But that's not only something happening for the festival, but that's all going then worldwide. So mm-hmm. I think, as a marketing tool, they're going to start going in that mm-hmm. fashion. Not only can you have a festival item happen where people there can enjoy it, mm-hmm. but then it then sparks more than just the people at the festival. I think we're going to start seeing a more global opportunity.
See, now my one criticism of that, of doing driving karaoke in Austin, is just the traffic. You want to go a block and it's like, okay, we've sang three songs, we're supposed to go a mile here, I don't know how we're going to be able to do this, filler.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe they just dropped them off. They just drove from one end of South Side to the other. Maybe it was just six blocks. And got seven songs in. Hey, welcome to Austin.
We're going a song a block.
Yep.
You don't measure your driving rate in Austin by miles per hour. It's songs per block.
Oh, man. Oh, that's crazy.
On a good day, you get half a song per block. On a bad day, just sit back and let the playlist go.
For real. But, yeah.
Kirsten Dunst then. Yeah. Has she, I was trying to think after you mentioned her, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to think, has she done anything recently? Like, Gail, look that up and please don't Gail fail that. Yeah, I'm bringing that back. I like that. Because I know after the Spider-Man movies,
mm-hmm.
there was a drop there for a while, but I thought she had quite a few more dramatic roles that got her some acclaim, but I can't for the life of me think about what it was. It's been a while since I think I've seen her in a movie.
Yeah, I haven't really seen her in anything since then. I mean, I see reruns of the movies themselves and mm-hmm. just think about the stuff that she's been in, and I haven't seen anything, but it was kind of
because she strikes me as a very like she can do the she's really good at doing independent movies or small budget movies, and that's what would be released around South By. Like you don't get like the Sundance Film Festival going on at South By. You get a lot of the good independent movies that are just looking for that bigger audience, testing the waters right now.
All right, are you ready?
Fire away.
2016. It looks like she was in a movie Midnight Special and Hidden Figures.
She was in Hidden Figures?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She was Vivian Mitchell in Hidden Figures. And it looks like in 2017, she is slated for two movies. One called Woodshock, where she is someone named Teresa.
Okay.
And The Beguiled. In Edwina Babney. I'll look. That one, The Woodshock doesn't actually have a movie poster yet. Even.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it was probably the one before that you had mentioned that was the one that she was, if it was being promoted while she was here, it would probably
this
be that one.
This one has quite a cast, The Beguiled. It looks like Nicole Kidman, Colin Farrell, Ellie Fanning, Kirsten Dunst. That's most of the big names that I reference. It's actually directed by Sofia Coppola.
Really?
So, she's getting ready for something mm-hmm. slow and
dramatic. Yeah. That's something small budget, dramatic,
mm-hmm.
a la Lost in Translation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You've seen that one, right?
Lost Get ready for yeah. sexual yeah. tension, because mm-hmm. that's what she does.
Yeah, yeah.
She brings it.
Sofia likes no problem. To direct that.
Oh. No.
Or write it. I don't know if she wrote it. I could look that up.
I think, she did the screenplay for Lost in Translation. For that movie, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the one that had Bill Murray in it.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Scarlett Jo.
Yeah. Well, speaking of other movies,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Logan?
Yes. You want to get into that? Because that can be a little spoilery. That.
So, I think we should save that.
We both saved it. I tell you what, I'll give you a spoiler-free review for it.
Okay.
One, just highly recommended. You have to go see it. You don't have to have seen any of the other X-Men movies.
Yeah.
And you get the general sense of what a mutant is mm-hmm. and, you know, what the character Wolverine is.
Okay.
Everything else gets explained perfectly.
Nice.
Try not to cry.
Yes. It hits. Especially the last scene, right before it ends. You just... There's a moment that I was like, that right there almost did it to me. Almost.
Heartstrings.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling on those heartstrings.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So enough of that, since he hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
We do want to talk about something else, though.
Yes. So Netflix has been interesting the past couple of series that I've watched for it. Watched Iron Fist, and there was a lot of controversy about that because the main character, especially after Jessica Jones with a strong female lead, Luke Cage, another strong lead, they were hoping to go with another strong lead with Iron Fist, and a lot of fans were clamoring for somebody of like an Asian descent.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go for that. The guy who got cast in it, and I forget his name right now, who played Danny Rand the Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
He was cast for it, and it was not well received. And it a lot of people, even though the character in the comic was originally a white guy, it was
Finn Jones.
That's it. Yes, famous from Game of Thrones. If anybody's seen that,
what actually part did he play in Game of Thrones? I don't remember him all that well.
He was. You remember? Oh, the names escape me. The all blonde royalty, the family.
The all blonde royalty.
With a brother and sister, there was incestuous.
Okay.
One of their kids got with the one woman who had the brother and the really mean grandma.
Where Littlefinger goes up to the castle?
Oh, he's Flowers. The Flower Knight.
The Flower Knight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had
a brother that was gay.
Yeah, he had a couple of gay scenes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he got cast as Iron Fist. And in Game of Thrones, he's like completely clean shaven, but he still has like curly blondish hair.
Mm-hmm.
In Iron Fist, to make him look, I guess, more mature or whatever, he grew a beard.
The point is that once again, we're...
There was the opportunity to... And Netflix...
Hollywood molding race.
Yeah.
So then... What else did Netflix now do?
A trailer got released today for a live-action movie of the Death Note series. Death Note was this big comic, anime, and also a live-action movie in Japan. Followed a character who gets this notebook that falls from the sky, and on it says Death Note. And anybody whose name he writes in there, they'll die. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of rules to it and stuff like that, and it's a really good, really actually smart anime series.
Mm-hmm.
Both the television anime and also the comic book, anime that. Reading them, I've consumed everything with Death Note, and it was really great. So they're going to make essentially an American version of it.
And they Americanized it.
Yes. So you have a white male teenager as the lead.
Because apparently we don't have Asians in America.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No sense whatsoever. And it's disheartening to me because in the movie itself, the main character who's the bad guy who finds the notebook, his name is Light Yagami in the original series. And I don't know what they're renaming him in the American series, and I don't really care because I'll just call him Light. Light is like head of the class, really like pretty boy kind of person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if they had... I'm just going on record. I don't like the casting choice at all whatsoever. I hate what they've done with
it. Whereas...
If you're looking at just the story and the way the character works, you've got this character who's the one top of the class, A-lister, like upper middle class kind of character who dresses well, who like really is out to achieve. His conflict is that he sees that the justice system isn't working, and the Death Note gives him an opportunity to anonymously correct it and then to try to make a better world from it. And that's where he goes a little crazy. In the trailer they released, and you could find it on YouTube or wherever, right away the character looks like just a down and out, almost kind of gothy look, really sunken in eyes, like the kind of kid that's more forgettable at school, that hides in the background. So right away, I know that's going to completely change any of the kind of story that they have going forward with it. If they just keep the simple thing that a notebook falls from the sky and you write a name and somebody dies, it can be serviceable to me. But there's already been a fantastic two fantastic live action movies, and then a third one that wasn't based on the animated series the comic series that really just fell apart. But that was you take in the corniness of it and it works. But the first two movies are really brilliant, really smart, and I don't see how they could translate something like that to something that's going to be entertaining once it, quote-unquote, comes to America.
Well, it's very interesting also that certain other movies, we'll take Star Wars, have gone on their way to make the female role...
A strong female lead.
Mm-hmm. Yet, then we get to a movie like this that marginalizes a race for us.
Yeah.
Like, obviously we're not going to watch that movie if it's not a white lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so... When did we skip back 50 years to old Hollywood? Like...
Well, see, it's like... old Hollywood keep doing what they're doing. Like, there's the whitewashing of Scarlett Johansson, actually, in the Ghost in the Shell movie. Mm-hmm. And upset a lot of people. The only counter-argument I heard that sort of makes sense for what they're doing is you got to try to essentially convince these multi-millionaire studio execs you need a name branded to the movie if you want to make it, if it sells.
Fair. So ScarJo, that makes sense. Oh, okay, we got to make Ghost in the Shell. Who are we going to cast? Well, we got to get a big name.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see the stupid reasoning for it. I don't like it. Still think, like, I'm of the position Hollywood should take a chance.
Doesn't qualify into that.
Because it's Netflix.
We don't know this kid's name. We've never seen him. Has he been on anything before? Did you take a look at him? We don't recognize him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that excuse doesn't work. So why did you do it? So I have a feeling they're going to have to explain themselves a little bit.
Well, is that going to fall down the same category as...
This is not the first Asian film. Was it The Ring? No.
Or The Grudge.
The Grudge.
The Grudge.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once again, they went, oh, she's a big name, actually.
And at the time, when it was made.
If you say so.
Because Buffy was still, like, big in everybody's mind.
Yeah, but what is the purpose of them going that way besides having a big... What are they trying to achieve with doing it that way? I mean...
The big Hollywood films or the Netflix?
That's it.
It's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Greedy bastards.
It's likes on their Facebook page.
Well, I was going to kind of curve in there. I mean, I know you're keeping it at a professional playing level with the way they're doing the acting scenes mm-hmm. and who they're casting for this. But, like, they're not going to get a Golden Globe or an Oscar for what they're doing. I mean, you got a lot of fans that are just going to mm-hmm. be pissed off, just like the black folks who are saying, hey, mm-hmm. man, we did really good. You didn't notice us? We did really great.
Yeah, it's...
You know, it's crazy Hollywood at its best doing, we want them with the big name, they're going to bring mm-hmm. the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cool.
See, but even if they... Okay, let's say they were just playing stereotypes, because very stereotypically, if you're up for an Oscar and you're a black character, it's because you were a slave in a film. More than likely. That's like, unfortunately, the Hollywood, like the Oscar party, like that's how they vote on things.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. They changed it up this past year, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
and had a little bit of different ones.
Yeah,
because Moonlight had a gay black lead.
Mm-hmm.
That worked, okay? But that's like a... That's
Did they
a rare
get the
exception.
Right envelope, though?
That was the other thing.
Sorry, I had to turn it in there.
Unbelievable.
But, I mean, Hollywood makes their mistakes, and they bounce back through different movies from time to time.
Well, people still want to see movies.
Yeah, they want to see movies, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, did you guys hear about that we have a drive-thru theater here in Austin?
Mm-mm.
I'm not sure what part of town it is, but yeah, we have an actual drive-thru.
I knew it existed. I've never been to it or that, but it does exist.
They're not. It seems like I miss that nostalgia, man. I mean, that was a time. Mm-hmm. The first drive-in movie, And it was a scary movie for me back then. It was The Incredible Melting Man. It's an old movie, but it did a number on me, man. So Hollywood has their moments of just getting weird things out there that make the people want to be there. Mm-hmm. And they're still going to continue to do it, regardless of what you know, bumps in the roads they run into. So,
So I mean, that's it'd be nice if they're a little smoother or more consistent with things.
And the winner is... Oh, my bad. It was Gail and the... he actually won. So, but I was expecting somebody to say something about, well, which they think they did say something about, hey, let's get, I can't even call the brother's name now, from Family Feud.
Steve Harvey.
Dang. Yep.
Steve Harvey's off the hook. I forgot about
forgive
that.
Forgive me, brother Steve.
See,
yeah,
we forgot about it.
Hey, my bad,
yeah,
brother Steve.
It's, yeah. Well, cause
we
it's,
forgot about it.
It was a thing that happened, but there's been so many other flubs, you know, since then that it's a rash of flubs hitting the Hollywood industry. Oh, my goodness. and then Netflix flubbed it up with the leads here, I'll say.
There you go.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I mean, I'm still going to want to see it.
With Iron Fist?
No.
Death Note.
Death Note. I mean, we'll talk about Iron Fist in a moment.
Oh, Iron Fist.
I mean, the trailer. The last part, when it. And you watch it, it scans over.
And they got the creature. That follows the Death Note. The creature who's called a Shimigami. Who knows what it's going to be called? And
at the same time, it looks right.
The one thing I did notice it was Willem Dafoe with the voice.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that was Willem Dafoe with the Shimigami. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gotta love Dafoe's voice,
man.
But he does some good work. I mean, I've got to either see some more of the trailer just to try to. Watch it objectively, years ago, Brad Pitt bought the rights to Akira, or Joseph Gordon-Levitt did.
The animation?
Yes.
No way.
Here's an off the wall question.
Okay.
For you, if we're talking about a whitewashing, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they had changed the character to a young black man?
Young
Indian man.
Lead opposite. Is the guy who's playing L, the detective who goes after Light Yagami, who's doing all the murders and stuff like that. Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, so they did do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a little bit of a change. But yeah, okay. So, I mean, a little bit of redemption there.
They're trying.
That being said, L, he's in it a lot.
Yeah, because he's the protagonist, antagonist, depending on how you look at it.
So, I mean, he's going to have at least second amount of screen time, if not more.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, I want to know where the story goes, because all the comic book, the anime, and the movies all follow the same general setup, the same general story for the first half. Like, the two live-action movies sort of took, like, the first half of the animated series and the comic series, and translated it enough to where it made sense on screen.
Mm-hmm.
You have essentially two super intelligent people trying to outwit each other and, like, keep the game going. And they were people that you wouldn't expect to be in their scenarios. Light being this prestigious, smart high school kid who's essentially a killer, versus L, who's a super smart detective, but he's a teenager, but he's helped solve so many crimes that, you know, it's... I don't see how making it more dark and more of a horror film is going to work for them, because there are scary moments with the Shimigami, but the central thrust of all the plot isn't so much horror related. It's more, you know, just that smart, more not highbrow entertainment. What is that? It's more of an intelligent take and an intelligent script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more in a social opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there is the debate
this is a teaser trailer style. So maybe they're teasing us. Plenty of teaser trailers come out, and the movie is nothing like what the teaser trailer came after.
Did we see everything in the teaser that
eventually basically they teased like there was something scary. But the Shinigami isn't actually a scary thing once you get to know it. So just once again, this could be a little deceiving teaser. So, but then the people who know it know that it's not scary. So, but it's at least getting the attention of those who have no clue what Death Note is. Your non-regular viewer.
But it had enough of a... I feel like it had enough of a following that it got on a lot of radars. Because it was on Hulu. The original anime was on Hulu.
But remember, internet's whether or not it got watched enough. I don't feel Death Note really took off that way. I've mentioned Death Note to various people, and what's that? Oh, it's an anime? Oh, of course I didn't watch that. I mean, you know, the stigma still exists.
But were these anime hardcore people who like anime that you were asking? Well, they'll watch some.
I mean, they've seen, you know, your Princess Mononoke.
Hey.
Or
One Punch Man, Ninja some Scroll. People.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay.
So have you ever heard of Death Note?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
I've watched the anime, and I've watched it, you know, many seasons that I was able to keep up with, but I kind of fell off there for a little bit. But I would love to go back and finish, you know, finish those seasons out, because I thought it was a pretty good series of animation stuff to watch. So,
I will say the one thing about the comic series, they had like the regular, you know, like manga reads from right to left. They had a special edition of those books that was the all black edition, so it looked like a Death Note, and all the pages were black. It looked really nice. Nice. I like it when like there's some
thought behind there.
Yeah, good artistic thought behind the production of something like that.
You want to trans into a new topic?
I guess I can, but it's another like somewhat depressing topic though.
Actually, this is kind of funny.
No, just
I mean when I this level, this topic's next level of pure ignorance.
Yeah,
is. A level of shocking that I didn't know kind of still existed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that was really... Like, someone would actually say that on TV.
Yeah.
So, Jetter, what did this person say on TV?
Well, there's a figure in sports. Goes by the name Shaq. he's branched off...
O'Neal.
Mm-hmm. He's branched off. You may have seen him in... What major movies has he been in? The big one is Steel. If anybody remembers the flop that was Steel.
Yeah.
He was the lead in that.
Kazam.
There's a flop for you.
So he's, you know, like most athletes turn Hollywood actors, there's not much to go on. Although I did get his album that he put out with Steel. I think the soundtrack for Steel had him rapping on it.
I'm about to say he's a rapper too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's also a cop.
Yes. What? Yeah.
An official cop?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right after he retired.
Actually, maybe something he's really good at. I could see that.
In Miami, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yep.
How I mean, tall is Shaq again?
Oh, like 7'3", 7'4"?
No. He's 7 foot.
Oh, just at 7 foot?
Yeah, he's just huge.
Yeah. He's like built. He's a monster who knows how to like he's really good on the basketball court. I'm not going to deny that.
I did see him throw down Charles Barkley on one of the tossing around like a rag doll. Oh,
but good old Shaq attack decided to attack intelligent thought.
By the way, just before you go, he's 7'1", 325.
7'1", 325. Okay.
He's a big human being.
Yes. Why didn't he have a... He had a stint in the WWE.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did do that. I mean, really, our president has. So who really hasn't these days?
Our president.
I mean, why haven't you been in there, Jetter? Might as well throw you in a ring.
I was screaming outside of a ring at one time. during a show. Does that count? I was close.
Someone come and Stone Cold Steve Austin you?
Give me a stunner? No.
I'll bring the rock.
People's elbow.
What you cooking?
Yep. Oh, people's elbow.
Well, the people's elbow to my brain, what did done Shaq by Shaq, was coming out and saying that he believes the Earth is flat.
He was serious.
And there's been, he followed up, I think there was another NBA player a few years back, or more recent, might have been in the past year, who was also saying the same thing. And it's a more celebrities coming out to sit there and just pretty much insult not being intelligent, but just general facts and general knowledge. Mm. If I remember part of the quote that Shaq had, it was, "I've driven all around this country and it's just flat everywhere I go." And that to him sort of made sense why the Earth is flat.
I don't know how he can call the Earth flat. Man, he got hills and mountain ranges all through here. What?
It's so preposterous because to me, like, we've got satellites that can go out and take pictures.
Absolutely.
You can fly. Mm-hmm. And if you keep flying, eventually you're going to end up at the point you started. I mean, satellites and phones would not work with the way how they're positioned and everything unless the Earth was round. It's such a backward thought that I can't.
Can I quote what was said?
Please, please.
So it was first Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. During the All-Star break is the basketball player you're referring to.
Okay.
That came out and does believe that the Earth is flat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a major NBA star. He has won a championship. He is on the team with LeBron James for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, that
Cavaliers?
That doesn't count.
Cavaliers. So on Shaq's podcast, he comes and says, "It's true, the Earth is flat. There's three ways to manipulate the mind: what you read, what you see, and what you hear. In school, the first thing they teach us, oh, Columbus discovered America. But when you got there, it was some fair-skinned people with long hair smoking on peace pipes. So what does that tell you? The shit looks flat to me.
Mm-hmm.
I do not go up and down on a 360-degree angle and all that stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside Atlanta lately and seen all the buildings? You mean to tell me that China is under us? China is under us? It's not. The world is flat." So there's two takes on it. That he is joking. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be some big elaborate thing. And he's just holding his water until that. But it's to a lot of people, it's becoming very not funny.
It's the Andy Kaufman always, like, be in character kind of thing.
Yes, yes. So there is a take that he's doing something to that effect. And knowing Shaq, like we do, like we've seen him on the broadcast.
Yes, we have. We've seen him on the broadcast. You know what I'm saying?
that's a possibility.
Yeah.
He could be outplaying his card or realize he thought he had a funny card and it's not turning out to be so funny, so he's just going to go with it until it is. Or he really believes this. He has convinced himself. What's your take, James?
Well, I mean, first of all, ever since I was a little tyke, knee-high to a grape, I never heard of, I mean, the possibilities of it being flat. It's always been taught to us that the world and the Earth itself has been round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got two different polar caps, you know, one south and one north. Apparently, we're spinning on something pretty fast, or these items or this part of the elements wouldn't be created.
Correct.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, how can he say that, you know?
So, that leads me to a very good question. My thought pattern is, if you believe the Earth is flat, how do you explain the sun, the moon, and all the stars in the night sky? Do you think that they just wrote, is the Earth the center of the universe then, and everything rotates around it? Like, what? Oh,
so it can't be, because you're talking about being round again.
Well, it is in the sky, like some weird, like, we're just on a flat plane and everything is actually in the far, far horizon that goes up, like how they used to think, like, or not, I don't think they saw it like that in Greeks, but how, like, Greek gods used to bring the sun out from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. Like, do they believe in something like that?
Well, I mean, if it's going to, you know, say it's flat, you might as well say, hey, the sun's at that end and the moon's down here. Mm-hmm. You can see them.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Earth's flat.
Yeah, and if the Earth's flat, if you're standing in the middle of Kansas, why can't you see the Rockies?
The one thing would be that's so far off in the far distance that human sight can't go that far. But then once you start driving toward the Rockies, as it comes up the horizon.
Yeah, as it slowly grows on the horizon, you'd notice it was curving.
Yeah, it starts off, oh, I see, I think some mountain peaks in the distance. And then it just keeps going. It's like, oh, it's going further and further toward the base of the mountain.
Simple. Simple. Now, I don't think Shaq or Kyrie are ones to drive through Kansas.
See, but here's the thing.
Maybe
these
guys can fly on their jet. Oh, my gosh.
These guys are basketball players. They should, like, if they don't already naturally, like, have an instinct with the basketball to be able to, like, put it through a hoop and understand that, you should translate that information and that thought pattern to the earth.
I think I just heard some northern voice in there.
Mm-hmm. Huh? some angry northerner.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I've gotten ticked off in the podcast yet during any one of the tapings?
Not really.
Okay.
You can't let that get to you.
It does, because it bothers me, because it's something that you're disagreeing with reality when it's a very objective thing to know and get. Okay, like, reality. Live in the same place. If we can't agree on just simple, straight-up facts and objectiveness...
Can I throw a wrench in here?
No.
So, is our heads flat or is it round? It's probably not the same comparison, but I'm just saying, how in the hell can you say this is flat and you got two? Ever since science ever brought out, we spin on an axis, right? When did that ever stop?
That's a very good question. It definitely, the Earth has not stopped spinning. We're pretty sure of that. I don't know the exact catastrophe. I'd have to look that up. What would happen if the Earth suddenly stopped spinning? I'm pretty sure it would be...
I know exactly what would happen. If the Earth stopped spinning right now, all of us would be flung into space. Or towards space.
True.
Because gravity is what keeps us down, and at the moment, the rotation of the Earth is part of what that gravity holds us in. If that stops, we all keep flying forward. It's just like if, like, let's say you're hanging off the side of a car and the car suddenly stops, you're going forward because you're not strapped
I've
in.
I've done it. Mm-hmm. I've done it too. Not in front of a Jeep, but I've done it too.
Yeah. Someone didn't get run over by a Jeep.
Somebody's hand got run over by a Jeep.
Yeah.
Was it the right hand?
It was. So transitioning a little bit, because I got to get, my brain's going to fry if we keep talking about fucking flat earthers. there's going to be a podcast. I'm going to go off for about a good solid 5-10 minute rant. I've actually had nightmares about this.
You're still doing it.
Yeah, good. Okay. So,
like, what movies did that for you where you went in low and it way over exceeded?
John Wick.
The first one?
First one.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I was just thinking another Keanu Reeves punching movie, and that's not quite what it ended up being.
There was something I just recently saw that did that. I'm trying to remember what it was, and I was thinking, man, there's no way. And then next thing I know, I'm really deep into it. I went in at a low level thinking it's not going to get the press. It's not.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be pretty
good. Can I bring up a cheesy one? That I watched that actually kind of shocked me. It's more of a love story, so it's going out on a bit of a limb. The Passengers.
With Brad, Chris Pratt?
Yep. Yeah. Chris Pratt. And, I really thought I'd see the movie poster. I think, garbage love story. Then I get told it's some sci-fi thing. So I'm thinking, garbage sci-fi.
The lead actress, what's her name? Why am I blanking? The lead actress in
Emily Blunt?
No. Played Mystique in the X-Men movies. Not Rebecca Romijn, but...
Oh, the girl from the Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence, that's it. Okay.
And then I see the premise, and I'm like... And I'm cringing at this movie, being like, oh, man, don't do it. Oh, man, don't do it. Like... And then I'm torn on it. And then, yeah, the end of the movie doesn't, because it gets all sappy. But the beginning,
was way better than what I expected, because it had me sitting, like, kind of cringing, being this or that. Did you see it, James?
No, I haven't had a chance to check it out.
Spoiler alert. We're about to give something away. I just feel like that's, like, principle to say.
Okay, about anything? Okay. What are we going to give away? What are you spoiling?
Passengers.
No, nah, it's still relatively out in theater.
Yeah, it is.
The asshole. There you go. The asshole limit on spoilers.
Okay. Like that's
why we can't talk about Logan right now.
Mm-hmm. Because we can't ruin it for James.
Yeah. Or for anybody listening. And that's going to have to be... That's going to be big fucking spoiler alerts when we do that.
Yeah, so James is kind of lame. You haven't seen it yet.
Why I got to be lame, eh? You don't even like Death Note, so why I got to be lame?
Yeah. He has a point.
And Death Note kicks ass.
So
I didn't say it didn't.
No, wait. Hold on. I take that back.
Jeter, who like.
No.
I like it too now.
Keep going.
But what I was gonna say was that Death Note was the one I went in on low on. But it's not that I saw it recently. Mm-hmm. But that's a point that we're making about going in low expectations of it. And next thing you know, it just kicks off, man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, you know?
So the opposite happened for me. I had someone, maybe very nearby on the opposite mic, talking it up all crazy-like. And so then it didn't quite hit the expectation he put on for me. So it just wasn't quite there. Now, it's not like I didn't like it. It's just saying I didn't like it isn't the right thing. I did like it. It just wasn't.
Jeter says. So when it I pass this note me. Over and I have, please check yes, no, like, kind of, sort of like, maybe like, could you just mark where? Just mark right there.
Like what it says. It'd be like Jeter.
Like you like it, or like you like it, or like it. I mean, where's the inflection there on the like?
I mean, I think Jeter's still in high school.
When it comes to crushes on TV shows, yes.
That's very fair comparison, for you.
What about you, James? Any recent good stuff lately?
No, I haven't been in front of a...
With South By and everything.
Yeah,
but,
with South By, you know,
yeah, it's kind of that fair.
Tired. I've been noticing that Liz has been seeing some good stuff and McKenna's been seeing stuff, but I haven't had a chance. I mean, because I usually get on my phone and stream some stuff. But
you can't work and stream?
I have been, but this last week, man, I got
you can't when it's...
I have to pull one out of Bill Paxton's moment in Aliens. I don't know if you're on current events, man. Pal, we just got our ass kicked. That's exactly what happened. I miss that dude, man.
Yeah, I know.
That dude was the shit in that movie.
He had a lot of good characters. Like, it's weird. Like, you never realize how many things someone has been into until, like, they pass. And then you're, in this, had a small role in this, small role in this, small role in that. And just all together, it was...
Well, that movie did it for me, man. He just... Liz knows I love that damn movie no matter what. I'm quoting different parts of that movie. Because of him. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want some? Oh, you want some too? I mean, it's just parts of that movie that... The movie really started out at seeing another one.
Mm-hmm.
A low expectation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who's going to watch this, right? And next thing I know, these badass Marines just go to kicking ass, taking names.
Mm-hmm.
And now we don't have none.
Bill Paxton was in... at least according to IMDb... 93 films.
Mm.
He produced 7, directed 5, he was a writer in 4. He actually had something to do with the art department.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's how he got his start, if I heard correctly. Because he would do stuff just to be on set, and then that's what got him, we need somebody filling the role here. And he would, that's why he would appear in bits, and then he would just have, like, breakout performances in those.
Did it say what movies he...
He's actually going to be in some things. The TV series Training Day. was Detective Frank Rourke. At least 8 episodes there in 2017. He's also going to be in something called The Circle as May's father. That one's got a pretty big cast. Emma Watson, Bill Paxton, Tom Hanks, Karen Gillan. Old boy from John Boyega.
Boyega, yep.
Yep. Star Wars guy. Young man from Star Wars. Patton Oswalt. Ellen Wong. Yeah.
Okay.
Some big...
So that's got potential to be a good movie.
Recognizable face down the run. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're still going to see Bill Paxton maybe one more time on film. Okay. On the big screen.
Gonna miss you, Bill. Mean that, brother. Hey, he's a Texanite, though, right?
I don't know.
I will check that out.
I thought there was a deal where he's from Texas. I think Liz was telling me that he had a home here or something somewhere in Texas. But could be totally wrong.
I do know, like, it... And
yeah.
It's, yeah.
May 17th, 1955 in Fort Worth, Texas.
Up there near Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, that is Dallas.
On that note, we generally, when we're recording stuff like that, and anytime we're making posts, we always hashtag live from the ATX. You can also hashtag Jet Theory Radio on most of the social media and find what we're doing as well. If you're not already following us.
Follow.
At JETT Theory Radio on the Instagram, on the Twitter. We've got a Facebook page that you can like. We've also got a YouTube channel showing a bunch of videos from what we're doing, as well as full audio versions out there in case you don't have access to iTunes, which we're available on. Jet Theory Radio there as well. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about us, retweet us, fave, all that fun social media gathering. Let us know that you're liking and appreciating it. Leave a note on our fan page if you want on Facebook. We'll interact with you. Gail won't. He'll be lazy and it'll be me responding back.
Give us a suggestion on a topic you want to talk
about. Future topics that you want to hear us ramble on about, let us know. It'll be great to get that and just see some what people want to hear.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much, James, for coming on today.
Thank you, fellas.
We'll probably see you soon.
Oh, very soon.
Oh, we'll see you soon. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Tombstone.
Thanks.
Mr. Shady Justice, any parting words?
Not this time. I mean, the Earth is definitely a globe.
That thing is round, motherfuckers!
Yeah, boy!
All right. Thank you very much. The one bit of social media that I forgot to plug, just our website, jettheoryradio.com. Source code for all things Jet Theory Radio related. I want to get some blogs up there.
Hey, by the way, t-shirts are coming soon.
T-shirts coming soon. We'll be up for sale. All that fun information, follow us and you'll find out. And you'll be right there at the front lines when they're available. And you'll get them. It'll be great. You'll take pictures of yourselves and tag us in your posts as we like sit there and like the hay out of it, retweet it, do all the fave and just, yeah.
Make sure you boost your internet connection so you can get the clicking first before anyone else does when the shirts go on sale.
I'm sure it's
going to be a mad rush.
I'm going to. Probably the first time that we
Jetter's
go out.
Jetter's going to buy all of his own shirts, so someone has to beat him to it.
They're mine.
They're badass, though, for real.
Yeah, we got the beige ones and the black ones. I like those, and I want to get some black ones with just the main logo that's on the beige one right now. I want to get like the website on it so people know what it is. We can get it out there and all that fun stuff.
Cool.
All right. On that note, since a man is next to his mic and, you know, typically is pre-recorded, we thought, hey, let's end this live. We're doing it live tonight. James, take us home.
1, 2, 3, 4, hit it. Beep. 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 Beep.